Caravaggio got the money overnight, there's still talk whether or not it could possibly come for the Everest. Racing editor of the Daily Telegraph, Ray Thomas, joins me. How are you, Ray?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean.
He won well. I saw a fascinating quote from Aidan O'Brien after he got beaten to David. He said, "We put the wrong shoes on him."
Yeah, I'd never heard that before, so it's very interesting, that defeat in France. Look, he did return to form last night, Sean, albeit in a Group 2 race, and the field wasn't overly strong, but it was still nonetheless an impressive performance. But after speaking with Coolmore this morning, I can tell you we won't be seeing Caravaggio down under for the Everest, which is a little bit disappointing. Would have been great to have an international presence, but when you look at the potential composition of the Everest field for next month, do we need an international? We've got so many good sprinters here in form heading towards the Everest. It's still going to be a fascinating race.
Ray, I've said to a few people, I think one of the problems is our sprinters are as good, if not better, than the overseas ones. And they're probably on a hide and a nothing if they come almost.
I'm about to say, it's a long way to come to get beaten, isn't it? And that's not being disrespectful to Caravaggio, the Coolmore team. If they change their minds overnight and put that horse into quarantine tomorrow and end up down here, they obviously think he's a chance. But I think you nailed it. Sean, unless you've got a horse in terrific form and you know he's going to be competitive down under, it's a long way to come given the quality of our sprinters and potentially the quality of the Everest field this spring.
Well, all of a sudden there are horses just bobbing up like meerkats, and Minari is probably one of the best examples or the better examples, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In the Minari camp, they're thinking more Golden Rose at this stage, but I do know that they're some slot holders who are circling Minari, similar to another of Gerald Ryan's sprinters, Deploy.
Yeah.
They were both fantastic on Saturday. Look, a month ago, Deploy, you wouldn't even consider him as an Everest horse, but here he is. He now holds a track record at Ramaco over the 1,200 metres, the Everest course. Then he backs that up and runs a track record at Rose Hill on Saturday over 1,300. He used to use the cliche low flying, isn't he, Deploy? Minari just looked so good in the run to the Rose. He's a colt. He's potentially worth a lot of money as a potential stallion prospect. So getting that Group 1 is the immediate focus for the Gerald Ryan stable with Minari and in the Golden Rose in 2 weeks. But that then gives a three-week buffer for them to come back 1,200 metres for the Everest. In Gerald Ryan's words, that's not an issue at all for Minari. And remember, he'll be a big, hulking, strong colt carrying virtually no weight for age. It's very tempting, isn't it?
And as you said, Deploy has been one that's just flown right in under the radar, and you can't see too many horses back up start to start and break track records on two different tracks. And he's going to be up on the pace.
Yep, and when you look likely field for the Everest, Sean, it is going to be run at a breakneck speed because Red Zell almost certainly will be there. He's the toughest, most improved sprinter in train. Deploy will be up there. You can imagine She Will Rain.
Hootson,
I dare say they'll ride her more aggressively come the Everest day. So they'll be flying up front. I know in Sydney racing so far this spring with the firm tracks, it's been difficult to make ground from out back, and they're running such fast times up front. But I think come Everest day, this race will be run under such intense pressure all the way. The back markers will still get their opportunity. So it is shaping as one heck of a race.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be one of those last mare standing, won't it?
It will, and that then brings the grey flash right in the calculations to Chautauqua, because as we've seen, when it comes to these big 1,200-metre sprints, he invariably is the last horse standing, so to speak. And look, as I said, I know it's been difficult for horses to make ground from out back. Nothing to do with track bias, just the fact the tracks are so firm and those leaders are flying up front. It is mathematically very tough for the back markers to run those leaders down, but come Everest Day, that pressure will be intense, and I think it'll give the back markers their opportunity as well.
Well, the interesting thing is it's generated a lot of interest south of the border as well because of horses preparing for it, and also those who were probably wanting to avoid Winx have gone down over the border.
Well, exactly, yeah. Well, even the horse like Brave Smash, I hadn't heard of Brave Smash a month ago. He's put two really good runs together. I know it was a scrambling win at the Valley on Saturday, but he's obviously a horse with a lot of ability. He put the pressure to Vega Magic at his Australian debut at Caulfield prior to that, so definitely there's a case for Brave Smash to go into the Everest. Vega Magic, one of the David Hayes team. David's got so many good sprinters at the moment who are all in terrific form. And again, he's not officially in the field yet, but I'm certain a slot holder will be circling the Hayes stable to get Vega Magic.
He's still got Red Kirk Warrior lurking in the stall too.
And that's, according to David, his number one seed.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see Red Kirk Warrior this weekend, and if he comes out and wins impressively, then he'll go in. But I'm certain you can almost put your house on that Vega Magic will be in the field, come what may, provided he stands up to training. He's going great guns, and is 2 from 2 this prep.
Then you've got Red Zell.
Yeah, well, you'd almost want to put Red Zell in because, as I said earlier, he's arguably the most improved sprinter in Australia. 12 months ago, he struggled at 1,200 metres. Here he is. Now he's a Group 1 winner at 1,200 metres. He hasn't run a bad race for a year. He gets up on speed, makes his own luck, and he doesn't lie down, does he?
No, no. He just puts in. You love him. It's going to be an absolutely fascinating race.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. And, of course, we have Winks this weekend in the George Main Stakes.
Yeah, 11 noms.
Yeah, and look, she's the tab.com.au put up as a $1.10 favourite for this race. And look, I don't know what you think, Sean. I know there's been some people not questioning her form, but just wondering whether she's been as dominant as she has been because the winning margins have been small in her two wins this spring. But, gee, to put it in perspective, she missed the start by 4 in the Warwick Stakes and ran incredible sectionals to run down Fox Play, who's a genuine Group 1 horse. And then last start, the ride of Josh Parr on Red Excitement.
The Ripper.
Just outstanding. And I dare say this weekend, Huey Bowman won't let Red Excitement out of his sight. And she'll be close enough. And if he wants to, if he presses a button, she'll put a margin on these horses. And all that debate from her last two wins will be erased straight away.
Yeah, and that's going to be the mystery, I suppose, about the Optic White or the George Main on Saturday as to the Red Excitement v Winks. And then you get horses like Le Romaine could be lurking there as well.
Yeah,
Fox Play
almost certainly will run. Le Romaine will be going to Flemington for the Maccabi Diva.
Right.
But talking to Chris Lees this morning, he has still very much got the Everest in the frame for Le Romaine. After the Maccabi Diva Stakes, he'll discuss with owners if they want to press on to the Everest and can get a start. He has no issue with that, bringing the horse back from 1,600 to 1,200 metres. It's 4 weeks before the Everest. He said Le Romaine could easily do that. And talking of the Everest, we'll see some of the real contenders clash in the shorts on Saturday. The Everest favourite, Chautauqua, is back. English Fell Swoop, who've run second and third to him in the last two, TJ Smith, they're both there. Red Zell is a chance to run. Peter and Paul Snowden Stable are having a look at their options now. Originally, it was to Melbourne for the Moya Stakes. They may run Saturday and then give the horse that little break into the Everest. So if we see Red Zell there, that's terrific. And it's just going to be a crack race as well. And you've got a horse like Ball of Muscle, who trialled on Friday, trialled sensationally. He has come up enormous, and he'll run a race too.
Oh, he's a very good gallop as well. It's just
going to... Hasn't run for a while, Sean, but as I said, that trial on Friday, I know he's a bit of a trial star, but he looked really, really sharp in that trial, and he'll run a race here again. We're going to see a sprint race run at a frenetic tempo, because if Red Zell runs, fantastic. If he doesn't, Bull Muscle will tear along up front. And don't forget, Gary Moore is still very, very keen to get takedown into the Everest. So I expect him to run a very, very good race fresh. He won the shorts in the Premier last year. And if he wins one of those two races in the next fortnight, well, he'll be in the Everest field too, I'm sure.
With Ray Thomas from the Daily Telegraph, the T Rose, the noms on Saturday, 17 of them. And some lovely fillies in this too, Ray.
Yeah, well, Formelli's gone, going into the T Rose on the back of the Light Fingers, Silver Shadow in the Furious Stakes win. She is going great guns. She's owned by Coolmore, and don't forget they had that slot in the Everest. Now, with Caravaggio unlikely to come, Coolmore still have to fill their slot. Now, Formelli's shown that she's tough on pacer, and she'll run a race at over 1,200 metres for sure with a light weight. She's possibly in the Everest frame, as is another of their fillies who was nominated for Saturday Tulip. My understanding is, Sean, that Tulip will more than likely run at Flemington rather than Randwick. But both those fillies owned by Coolmore, if they can win on Saturday, they'll certainly push their case for an Everest start.
Acume is a filly who's on the up, isn't she? Just keeps improving.
Yeah, the Brad Widdup stable, aren't they having a tremendous run? And she's raced, of course, in tremendous form her last two starts. This is a bit of a step up for her because she's taking on the big guns here in Formality and Champagne Cuddles in particular. And Elise, we shouldn't forget her. She's been thereabouts in the Furious Stakes and the Silver Shadow as well. So it'll be a test for Akume. The Whispered Secret, also nominated from the Chris Lees stable, but I think we'll see her race in the Spring Stakes at Newcastle on Friday. I think Chris is under the impression she's looking more for 1,600 metres already. And don't forget a filly, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott train called Pandemonium. Won her last two. They've been much easier races, I know, but she's a filly Tullock Lodge holds in very high regard. She's heading towards the Flight Stakes, and her last couple of wins have been enormous. Has to come back a little bit and trip on Saturday, so that might test her, but keep her in your black book for the Flight Stakes over a mile.
And we'll be having a chat to him at Newcastle shortly. It looks like Lloyd Williams is trying to gang tackle the cup, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's done it before. Remember, Green Moon ran a great race
right on
in the Melbourne Cup. So, look, whenever Lloyd Williams sort of places his stays in races like this, it's all part of that bigger plan to head towards the Melbourne Cup. He has nominated a number of stays also for the Metropolitan. So the horses we see potentially race at Newcastle on Friday, I dare say, will keep going through to the Metro.
Yeah, terrific noms there. Ray, good to catch up, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All the very best, Sean.
Thanks, Ray. Ray Thomas, racing editor, Daily Telegraph.